This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 30th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Food delivery apps like DoorDash and Uber Eats have boomed during the pandemic, and restaurants have been working to adapt. In some cases, they're doing so under whole new brand identities. Applebee's, for instance, has been selling Cheetos-coated chicken wings under the brand name Cosmic Wings. But why create a separate brand for them? On today's show, our restaurants reporter Heather Haddon will join us to explain the rise of these so-called virtual brands. That's after these headlines. Mail-in voting has concluded in a high-profile union election at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama. The National Labor Relations Board will now begin counting the votes, a process that could take days. If the organizers are successful, workers would begin the process of becoming the first group of Amazon employees to unionize in the U.S. We'll be following along and posting the results on our website and in the WSJ app, so be sure to watch for updates there. Big news for clean energy tech. The Biden administration is planning to give wind power developers access to more of the Atlantic coast by fast-tracking leasing in federal waters off of New York and New Jersey. White House officials also say they're starting a slate of new environmental reviews to jumpstart the country's offshore wind business. It's part of President Biden's plan to use the zero-emissions power source to slow climate change and create blue-collar jobs. And a new index from a group led by the venture capitalist Tim Draper ranks Washington, Texas, and Florida as the best states to launch a tech startup, beating out Silicon Valley. On a global level, the findings show that the U.S. is still a leader in promoting innovation, but that Singapore, Hong Kong, and Switzerland are closing the gap. The index grades tech hubs on a range of factors its developers say support a healthy startup ecosystem, including regulatory and economic trends, as well as less common indicators like openness to cryptocurrencies. The group behind the index, the Draper Hero Institute, says it's hoping tech leaders will leverage the rankings as a basis for business decisions. All right, coming up next, some restaurants have been cooking up new ways to attract customers through food delivery apps. We'll talk about that after the break.
I'm Alex Yule, host of The Readback from Barron's. It's been an extraordinary year for stock markets, particularly for companies going public. IPOs soared, and they show no sign of slowing down. But the boom didn't come out of the blue, and there was plenty of pain on the road to IPO success. So how do you put a price on innovation? This season on The Readback, we'll find out. We're winding back the clock on a decade of IPOs, from Moderna and Facebook to Uber and Airbnb. The Readback is available wherever you get podcasts.
Between the pandemic and the rise of apps like DoorDash and Uber Eats, meal delivery has become a staple. And restaurants are shifting their strategies in response. We've seen them come up with things like ghost kitchens, which are restaurants made for delivery only, without sit-down locations. And now, some restaurants are starting virtual brands, which means they might have a separate identity and menu on DoorDash than they do at their physical location. For more on this, we turn to our restaurants reporter, Heather Haddon. Hey, Heather, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so what can you tell us about these virtual brands? What kinds of things are we seeing them sell?
Sure. So virtual brands are online-only brands sold on the major delivery apps, so Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub, and the like. And it's a brand that is cooked at a kitchen of typically it's a restaurant. Sometimes it's also a ghost kitchen, but mostly are actually at physical restaurants and then sold for delivery online. So if you actually went to the restaurant, you cannot buy these products in person in most cases, but they are sold online for delivery. And they have really grown. So this is a phenomenon that began before the pandemic. Uber Eats was particularly involved in this, but they have just mushroomed since. So now there's thousands and thousands of these brands that are sold online. And a lot of the foods you see that are popular here are things you would think of for to-go. So chicken wings are really popular, burgers, sandwiches, things that can be easily sold for delivery have really exploded.
And so in the case of these virtual brands, what's the benefit of going under a sort of restaurant pseudonym? Why don't they just sell food under their original names?
And a lot of them, it should be made clear, a lot of them do have delivery of their own brands. But this is really a way to add, you know, a new type of menu and cuisine that the brand is traditionally known for. So for these independent restaurants, some of them have started these virtual brands during the pandemic when their kitchens were closed. And so this is adding a whole new type of menu and food concept. So for, we have an independent restaurant in the story that is a Japanese restaurant in San Francisco, but now they're selling burgers and chicken, things they wouldn't normally be known for, but under this new brand online. While the casual dining brands like Applebee's, you know, it's, people think of Applebee's when they think of Applebee's sit down food and that kind of setting. But here they've started a whole new wings brand of wings coated in Cheetos for sold online under a new name with a new kind of brand and styling to give it kind of a fresh new edge to try to cater to younger consumers.
So you've talked to a lot of experts and restaurant owners about this. How do these virtual brands decide what food to make and what markets to address?
So a lot of them are using consultation from the delivery companies themselves to get an idea about that. So they are taking data that the Uber Eats and DoorDashes are providing them about things that are consumers are searching for in a particular neighborhood and using that to inform they're thinking about virtual brands. So say people are searching for like poke or salads, the delivery companies can say, hey, you might want to consider a virtual brand under that guise. Others, you know, are developed organically by the restaurants themselves based on the food they can naturally sell pretty easily. Like wings, again, seems to be very popular because it's something that can be easily done in a kitchen with existing fryers and equipment and sells really well for delivery.
And how are customers reacting to this? You know, ordering from one restaurant and then realizing that their food is from somewhere else entirely.
It's mixed. So we did talk to some consumers who thought they were ordering, you know, from an independent restaurant. It turns out they were ordering from a casual dining chain, like a Denny's or an Applebee's. And some were understanding, some were wished it had actually been from an independent restaurant. We should say the chains themselves are, say they're very clear and transparent that they are the ones behind it. It can be a little confusing when looking at these websites that they are not actually the ones doing it. But they say they are being transparent, but want to, you know, start these new brands under these new names. So I think it's mixed, you know, from the independent restaurants. I think it's pretty clear who's selling them. And the delivery companies themselves say they are now making sure to label these as virtual brands to add some transparency as well.
And, you know, just taking a step back, I'm kind of struck by just how much these restaurants have been pushed to shift their businesses in adapting to these delivery apps and to the rise in demand for delivery more broadly during the pandemic.
Yeah, and a lot of them didn't want to until the pandemic. A lot of restaurants did not want to do delivery because it's expensive. The commissions that are charged, you know, do eat into your profit. During the pandemic, they really did have to resort to delivery and these apps to survive. Now, you know, a lot of restaurants are trying to wean customers off of them by using, you know, pickup options or trying to get people back into their dining rooms. So a lot of them would like to move away from the delivery side of things where the delivery companies are trying to keep them. So it's a really interesting dance right now.
Yeah. And looking to the future, the path forward for restaurants is obviously still pretty uncertain. What does all this tell us about how they're navigating that future and what role the apps will play in their businesses on the other side of the pandemic?
It's really unclear. So yeah, delivery did boom during the pandemic. A lot of people got used to getting food to go and not eating indoors. Now restaurants are opening again. They're trying to juggle these new brands and delivery with their existing operations. I think it's very challenging for them to try to run all this at once. But, you know, for these restaurants, especially the independent ones, a lot of them have lost so much business. They're just trying to capture back as much as possible. But yeah, I mean, for the delivery companies, you'll see a lot of their stock has fallen more recently because, you know, the pandemic is easing in some ways. So they really have a job to do to try to keep some of these new customers. And I think that's what we'll be writing about in the future.
And we will be watching out for that. All right. Our reporter, Heather Haddon. Thanks, Heather.
All right. Thanks so much.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.